Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
It's official! F1 Explains is here! Hello and welcome to F1 Explains, our live show here from Austin, Texas.
This is F1 Explains. We are live on stage at the Circuit of the Americas, and in front of us are lots of F1 Explains listeners! You are louder than last year, gang. You are very, very impressive. Welcome to F1 Explains. This podcast is going out to Formula One fans in more than 120 countries around the world. Give them a cheer, guys!
I'm Katie Osborne. This is my buddy Christian Hugel. And as you guys might know, this is the podcast, F1 Explains, that answers your guys' questions. We love to hear from you. It's a whole lot of fun. But more importantly, we have some very special guests today.
We have some very special guests. It doesn't matter if you are a brand new Formula One fan or you've been watching for years. This is the podcast for you. We always hope you learn something about Formula One and have a bit of fun along the way. Me and Katie Osborne run around the F1 paddock and answer your questions. And just sometimes, as Katie says, just sometimes, we like to get some very, very special guests. Who would like to meet our guests?
The time has officially come. I feel like the time is right.
I feel like the time is right.
All right, it's the time we've been all waiting for. We have the two-time world champ, Mika Häkkinen.
Oh, thank you so much.
Mika Häkkinen is here, everybody. Oh, we've got some chanting.
Thank you so much, thank you.
And that's not all. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Ferrari super sub this season, the Haas super sub this season, and from next season, driving for the USA's Formula One team, Haas, it is Ollie Bearman!
We do know that Ollie has some athletic skill. We saw it earlier in pickleball. Although when I came up to the game, you were not quite winning. So tell me the result.
Well, I brought it back. I was still warming up when you saw me.
That's what you were doing.
We should give some context to this. In the paddock, there is a game called pickleball. I'd never heard of it before, but Katie, you spotted Ollie playing with someone quite familiar, right?
Hold on. Pickleball stateside. Y'all know pickleball. Just out of curiosity for my own insight, what about tennis? Anybody?
Oh, this one.
Okay, so we still have some tennis fans, but really pickleball has kind of taken over stateside. I think it's maybe a bit similar to your paddle ball.
Mika, have you heard of pickleball before?
Yeah, of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mika Häkkinen
pickleball?
Is lying.
That's what's happening here. I saw it the other day. It looks really good fun, I tell you. It looks really good fun. So, but I have to be careful with my knees. I'm so old.
Me too.
The good news is the court's a little smaller, not as much running, all those things. And when you were playing against Kimmy today, you did make a comeback. You did show up.
Yes. I didn't know how the rules worked because you play for 5 points, but you can't win unless it's your serve or something like that. Anyway, it was 3-1. It was looking bleak. We were doing best of five.
Dismal.
It was looking really bad. But then I came back and I won 5-3, I think. So right. I did the comeback of the century. Thank you.
A comeback of the century. Have we said who you were playing?
My teammate in F2, Kimmy. He's racing for Mercedes.
Kimmy Antonelli. You're going to be racing together in F1 next year, and I think this is you winning Duel 1, Ollie. I think you've got Ooh. Early bragging rights here. Early bragging rights. All right, let's get on with answering some of our listeners' questions. Now we have Mika and Ollie on stage, shall we? And Mika, you did 161 Grand Prix. Ollie, not a bad record, right? Ollie has done 2 so far. Now, Mika, I'm reading some stats here. Mika has 20 wins, 51 podiums, 2 world championships. But, Ollie, you are beating...
I have 0 of all of those.
Well,
one day.
Well, no.
Not a couple of years.
Mika, you have got, unfortunately, a lower point scoring record than Ollie in one way, because Ollie, you've got 100% point scoring record in Formula One. Give Ollie a round of applause.
Ah, well done.
Seems hard to do, right?
Ollie, how much advice would you give to Mika? Because he wasn't 100%. How could he have got his higher, do you think?
I think you should have done less races, Mika. If you did just absolutely. 2 races like me, you would have been fine.
That's true.
Well, that's a great question. Someone's just shouted from the crowd. Mika, when you stopped racing in Formula One, you did actually say you were on a sabbatical. Now, a sabbatical means a break. You've still not come back yet. Are you ruling yourself out of coming back? Could you, could you be Ollie's teammate in the future at some stage?
Yeah, I think my six-pack, I would have to do some work to get back, I tell you. But, these cars these days, they are, well, in my time, they were also very fast, but, they are pulling around 6 G-forces in a corner, so your body weight goes up 6 times higher. So they're physically very demanding, very tough for your neck. So it would require enormous amount of physical training, and I'm lazy these days. I don't want to do that, I want to enjoy the paddock club and, hanging around there.
I enjoy the paddock club. Basically, you're saying you enjoy having some nice food and a rest while watching the races now. Yeah, great.
As we kind of heard a little bit from Ollie in that, any bit of advice he would have given you, as you think back to your start of your F1 career, can you give us a feeling of what that was like and maybe some advice for Ollie?
Yeah, you can give many, many stories and what I have learned in my career, what kind of mistakes I did. But like in my career, it took me 7 years before I won my first Grand Prix. So that's a long time, you can imagine. You can imagine every morning you wake up, you go front of the mirror and say, Mika, you are fantastic, But after 6-7 years, you start looking in the mirror in the morning, you say, who is this guy, you start losing your confidence. So it's a very challenging. Of course, the fans, the team, the media, the partners start questioning about your talent, So it's very tricky how this... All your career goes. So the word is never give up. You have to believe in yourself. It's a very important factor. You really need to work with the right people. Of course, you need to be in the right team, and give flat out everything for the team. But also your personal team, your supporting team. They need to be a really good people, right people who can give you the right advices in the right time. And it's a very long journey. And the science is important factor these days to helping young drivers in their physical condition, in your mental health. So use every tool what is available today to make you a better racing driver. And long term, if you believe in yourself, you will win. And again, when you're a young driver, Formula One is a complicated Do I talk too much? Maybe?
No, this is great. You guys so interested in what he has to say?
It's a very long journey, you know. So when you're a young racing driver, you develop every year. You learn all the time something, and that's what I mean. Never give up. But also same time, you know, you need to be in the right team. That way, the team gives you the support. Team allows you make mistakes, because some teams are not so nice. You know, as soon as you do 2-3 mistakes, they kick you out. So choose the right team. I mean, the Ferrari is a great team.
The Haas people, have they been nice to you so far too?
They've been amazing. Really, really kind.
Ollie, you must be counting down the days until Australian Grand Prix 2025. You've obviously already made your debut, but you are going to be a full-time Formula One driver from then. How excited are you?
186 days, 12 hours. No, I'm kidding. I'm not that good. I saw his face. You were like...
I thought you knew it. I was like, that
drivers
is so
are generally
impressive.
Calculated, but that would have been very impressive.
Yeah, but no, I'm really excited to get started. You know, getting those two races that I did this year were amazing, but it really hurt because, you know, I've done it twice. Now I'm itching to do it again. Luckily, I have a free practice next week in Mexico to at least... scratch the itch a little bit, but you know, it's going to be a while till I'm racing full time, but I can't wait to get started. It's going to be amazing.
I know they can't wait to see you in a car, and of course we can't either. If you're just joining us now, this is F1 Explains, and we bring in people to ask questions specifically to you, Mika and Ollie here. Let's welcome our first guest. It's Rachel.
Give Rachel a round of applause, everybody. Rachel, welcome to F1 Explains, live on stage at the Circuit of the Americas. Rachel, how does it feel to be stood there? And describe for our podcast listeners what you're wearing.
I'm in a wonderful Ferrari polo.
And you're not the only one adorned in Ferrari on the stage. The man next to you is wearing a very nice
Ferrari.
We're matching. It's great.
A Ferrari polo also. And Rachel, what's it like to be stood on stage next to a Formula One driver, or two Formula One drivers, in fact?
This is indeed the first time. I'm very excited about it.
Well, you're very welcome. Whereabouts are you from, Rachel?
I'm from here in Austin.
From Austin, everyone! You must love it when Formula One comes to town.
I really do.
You really do. And we love coming to Austin, by the way. Austin, we love you. This place is awesome.
Truly, we were talking about this earlier, saying how welcoming, how wonderful this is, even compared to other circuits.
I've got my Texas Longhorns.
If you guys follow Christian on social media, he almost took that hat off today for interviews, and he kept it on because he told y'all he was going to keep it on. So,
I'm
well done, Christian.
Hook him. I see you. Sorry, I've been Texas Longhorns distracted. I think, Rachel, you should ask your question. You take it away. The stage is yours.
Excellent. My question is, there are a lot of new young drivers racing in F1 at the moment, and new ones joining next season who are a part of driver academies. I'm curious how teams scout their next superstar. Ollie, how did Ferrari spot you for their driver academy?
Ferrari is quite a specific academy. They run scouting camps every year. It's a bit like a football team where they bring their prospective drivers to Maranello. They test them physically, mentally, but also on the circuit that they have. So they get a first-hand view of exactly how the driver is performing in every capacity, which is great. Some other academies just base it off of the driver's performances in Formula 4, Formula 3, even karting. But Ferrari has a very thorough process. So when I was maybe 15 or 16, they sent me to Italy. And I did this full week of training and everything, and then they found me that way. So yeah, it's quite a cool way that they do it at Ferrari. I think they've taken inspiration from like football teams and stuff like that. But yeah, usually based on good performance, that's how they find you.
Amazing, thank you.
Thanks so much.
How do we think Ollie did at answering our first listener question, everyone? I think he did rather well, don't you, Katie?
Pretty solid, good work on that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm F1 Explains round of applause for being brilliant in answering our first question. It's Rachel, everybody! Rachel, thank you.
Thank you.
And Mika, as a follow-up question to that, obviously driver academies and the history and legacy of what that has, and what that is really, has changed and maybe a hair different than it was back in 1991. What was the prep like when you kind of were getting yourself in a driver's seat?
We did have a driving academies, and quite a few different companies organized this kind of academies, and they're really, really professional how they did it, and it started already, like today, in the lower categories, they start already developing you becoming a Formula One driver. And it was a super exciting journey. One of the training courses, of course, is part of your fitness programs. One of the areas is how you're managing your life. And then there's a driving school. So this happened to me when I was something like 20 years old, and they put me in this academy and like in a driving school. And I was thinking, what is this all about? I know how to drive a car, you know. So it was interesting, but fantastic. I think what was the most important is this driving school was that they were using for advisors like James Hunt. And that maybe some of you do recognize that name, world champion Formula One. So
we recognize James Hunt's coach, don't we? We've got real race fans here.
Yeah, so he was one of my mentors when I was a young guy, and he was a very special guy. And he always told me that when I left from his house, he said, "Mika, remember, have fun." And he was quite a special character. And I always, when I left from his house, I was wondering, what do you mean having fun? You know, you go 200 miles per hour with the car, and it's not so much fun. But then realizing later on, I recognized that message that way, whatever you do in your life, you need to enjoy. And when you do enjoy, you do make a better job. And it's you can have fun.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Ladies and gentlemen, who would like to meet another listener? Please welcome F1 Explains listener number 2 to the stage. It's Michelle!
All right, guys, what's fun about Michelle is this is not her first rodeo with F1 Explains.
She's a seasoned guest.
Thank you for recognizing that. Yes, she's back around. She heard that y'all were coming, and she was like, yes, I want to be a part of that. So welcome back. But for those who don't know, where are you from? What's your story?
Sure. I'm Michelle. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
Since everyone can't see, I'm sporting a Cleveland shirt and not any team's shirt. Because last year, I wore my Dutch orange, and I didn't want to be mistaken for a McLaren fan. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all gone very pantomime.
Did anybody catch Mika's face right there? Anybody notice that?
I'm winning friends.
It's fine. They like you, really. Carry on.
I am an F1 fan because I really love how nerdy and math-based the sport is. I've never been a sports person, and the notion of a sport where they penalize teams by taking away their wind tunnel testing time is just the nerdiest thing I've ever heard.
It's good for
really
the geeks, isn't it?
So on that note, round of a drum roll. You got this.
Thank you. So, Mika and Ali, I'm a strictly recreational go-karter. What advice can you give to me to make me go faster?
Brake less and accelerate more. No, I'm kidding, but the karting, like rental karting, right?
Yes.
The thing is with rental karts is that they're very heavy and they don't have much power, so you have to be as fast as you can in the corners, because if you slow down too much in the corners, you don't have enough power to speed you up again. So, I mean, it's easier said than done, I would say. But try to really be as fast as you can through the corners. And if you want, we can go together and I'll push you along.
Oh, solid off. Ollie is bringing some fun around here. Mika, on your end, what is your advice for some go-karting, especially knowing that your youngs also are into go-karting as well?
Well, break later than others. Just break late. You know, that's the advice. You know, just break later.
It's simple.
You know, just, you know.
Oh, just break
first down. Time, when you come in a corner, you know, long straight, you know, and the corner is getting closer, you know. The first, when you first think you should press the brake pedal, count three.
Okay. You only count three, Mika.
Yeah, count three,
count four.
And then you press it, you know.
I love it. Thank you.
Guys, who's been go-karting out here? Oh, we've got someone's got... But you're carrying... There's a lady in the front row with a helmet. You're carrying that round all day in
maybe
the Texas sun.
Maybe he came here with the go-kart.
Did you drive here in your go-kart? No, you didn't. No. I would suggest a cap next time. It's lighter. But it's fine. So, guys, next time you go go-karting, you can say you've had advice from two Formula One drivers, OK? So bank this. It's worth coming to the F1 Explains
podcast.
So, basically,
count to three. If you're feeling adventurous, count to four.
OK. And then basically, Mika's advice is don't break. I'm not sure this is a great health and safety question that we've done here, but excellent. Michelle, next time you go go-karting, are you going to be mentioning this?
Well, I think I'm going with Ollie next time, so definitely.
That's an offer and a half, that is. Go-karting with Ollie Behrman. We're holding you to that now. You've said it on a podcast, Ollie, I'm afraid.
I sure hope we do a live show at that one, too.
Michelle, thank you for coming up and joining us. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you both very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, give her a warm round of applause. It's Michelle! Right, guys, we get questions from all over the world on F1 Explains, but this is a first for us. This is a new one. For the first time in our podcast's history, we have a question not just from a listener, but from a listener who is involved in a different sport. Have we got any NBA fans in? Have we got any San Antonio Spurs fans in? They are based just down the road here in Texas. They have an F1 fan on their roster, and they have sent us this question.
Hi, F1 Explained. It's Eddie Sokol from the Spurs, and I have a question for you. Is the pilot or the car that win the race?
It's both. The car can't drive by itself.
That was such a methodical, beyond that point, is there any other way that you could define the difference between a winning?
It's a bit of everything, because for sure, if you're not in a certain number of cars, it's impossible to win the race. But by the same token, the driver also has to do the job, especially, you know, in qualifying, the cars are split nowadays by really small margins. So, you know, even if you have the fastest car, it's not guaranteed that you put the car on pole. I wouldn't say it's 50-50, but they're both really, really important. You can't win the race if you're not in the fastest car, but by being in the fastest car, you don't win the race by default. So it's a bit of everything.
Well, we've had those ongoing conversations, right? Is it the driver? Is it the car? If a particular driver was in a different car, would they show the same results? What's your take on that?
Well, it's sure the driver has to be a very talented driver to take these kind of car like Formula One to the limit and to make it go around the corners fast. So I would think to win the Grand Prix, it's 99% is the driver.
99% driver. Ollie, would you agree?
Yes.
Unbelievable, guys, isn't it?
Because it's Mika, I can't argue with the boss.
We've got two drivers on stage, and they say it's 99% driver. I'm truly shocked by this.
So what do you guys think? Is it 99%? Yes? No? I feel like we were prices writing it earlier. I feel like higher now or
we're
lower?
We're going very prices right. Who thinks it's higher than 99%? Who thinks it's lower than 99%? How dare you disagree with our Formula One driver guests? These guys, how offended are you now, guys, that this crowd are disagreeing with you?
I'm not talking anymore.
A big thank you to City, the San Antonio Spurs. Also, this is a shout just to them. Thank you, San Antonio Spurs, for supporting F1 Explains. On that note, though, back here trackside, are we all ready to meet our next guest? All right, let's get her out here. It's time to meet Erin!
Erin, welcome. Welcome to F1 Explains. Tell us where you're from and also which Formula One fan group you're from.
So I'm from LA. Thank you. And I am a diehard McLaren fan, but I'm also always a Ferrari fan.
What do you make of this? This is interesting. So I love soccer, right? Back in the UK, you can only have one soccer team. You can only have one. It's like, don't listen to anyone. I'm a Leicester City fan, right? You can only have one. Can you have two Formula One teams, guys? Can you do that? Ollie, can you support two F1 teams?
I do.
Ollie, you score points for two Formula One teams, let alone...
Exactly, I have to support both of them.
Mika, what about you? Can you have two?
Yeah, I'm sure you can have two. You can have three, four.
Ten. Support all ten, it's fine.
Erin.
Big F1 fan.
What is your question, Erin, for these guys?
Sure, so my question is for Mika. You were talking...
Ollie looked offended and sad.
So, Mika, you said earlier that confidence is so important for young drivers in F1. Especially facing their first year. How do they gain that confidence?
Confidence. I experienced that way, you know, because I started motor racing when I was 6 years old. So very, very young. And you do a lot of practicing and a lot of racing. So that's the time when you build your confidence inside you. So when you do enter into Formula One example, you are already super confident, you know. It's just a practice, you know, it's just a massive amount of practice and you just have to believe in yourself and the people who you're working with, you know, that's an important factor. But there is no any, my opinion, there is no any secret formula. You just have to feel good with yourself and keep your foot down.
Ollie, did you ever struggle with confidence when you first got in a car, or were you like, I can do this, I'm born ready for this?
I didn't really struggle until my first F1 race in Jeddah. That was really tough because... You always, you know, before the first race, you always question if you're good enough, if you can, you know, if you're at the level of these guys in F1. So before I did the race in Jeddah with Ferrari, I was really nervous and not sure if I was at the level of these guys. But I think once you do it once, you show what you can do, then it's really easy to get confidence. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Once you do well, you get more confidence, then you do better and so forth. So... Yeah, I think you just need to get the baseline confidence, and from there, it's a bit easier.
Yeah, that, I can't imagine how much confidence plays into everything. Like you mentioned, even mental health in the process, it really is important in that.
Now, Erin, stay here. Before Mika and Ollie go, we need to bring out a couple more people who want to see you, some more F1 Explains listeners who have come from a long way away. So, guys, you
Very
need to
long
give
way.
Them a properly big COTA welcome. Please welcome Ryan and Daniel. Ryan, Daniel, welcome. Guys, where have you come from today?
We've come over from New Zealand.
And who do you support?
McLaren.
Well done.
It's a McLaren sandwich.
And we also support Liam Lawson.
Well, not only are you stood next to a McLaren legend, but... I've got a surprise for you guys. Producer Chris, can we borrow you? Give producer Chris a round of applause, please, F1 Explains listeners. Now, McLaren guys heard that you were going to be here and had come all the way from New Zealand. So what we have for you is a signed cap from Lando and Oscar. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, really. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, McLaren. Go, Lando.
Yeah, go, McLaren.
Not a bad prize for them, is it, Mika?
No, I think it's absolutely fantastic. And, of course, McLaren coming from New Zealand, you know, so it's incredible story. So, well done. Great you're coming here, guys.
And then, Ollie, from this point of view, you remember being that young and looking up to some of these drivers who you're now probably going to be competing against. Any advice for little ones like this to say, hey, look, you can do it?
Exactly. When I was your age, I was watching Lewis racing in F1, and next year I'll be racing against him, so it's great to see, and I'm so happy for you guys. You know, you've traveled a long way, but you have something to show for it. That's really, really awesome. And go Liam.
Did you ever think you'd stand next to Formula One drivers?
Maybe.
Yeah, he thought it'd happen. He was sure. What about you, sir?
No way.
Right, F1 Explains Family. I need you to show some appreciation. Mika Häkkinen has been on the show many, many times. He's
Thank
a
you
legend.
So much. Thank you.
Ollie, we are so delighted to see young, exciting talent coming through. You smashed it in your Super Sub appearances. We're so excited to see what you can do in a Haas next year and racing in Formula One full time. We thank you both so much for being on F1 Explains. Thank you too to our listeners. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to go absolutely wild for Ollie Bearman and Mika Häkkinen.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, all of you guys, for being part of this.
Just before we go, shall we read some signs with our crowd here? Right, what's happening here? You want us to reveal the gender of your baby on F1 Explains? You want...
Let's see we can snag a Mika for this one.
A listener has given us a gender reveal envelope and they want Mika to do it. Mika, before you go, would you like to reveal the gender of a listener's baby?
Yeah, okay.
And you've got
Can
to
you
go,
guys
and I'm
even
being told off.
It?
But open
you...
up this envelope. Open up
where,
the envelope.
Where we go? Where we go? Here. Oh, they're over here.
Well, it says Soya Nino.
It's a boy.
Congratulations! Oh, there's the happy couple right there.
We've revealed the gender of a baby on F1 Explains. Mika, thank you. Absolute chaos. What else have we got?
That was not what I was expecting today.
Katie, what others? We've got someone who's made a sign that says, "This is my sign."
I love the simplicity. That makes sense. Yuki signed my plate. That's cool, Yuki 22.
Go Norris, go McLaren, go Lando.
Oh, you're risking graduation. Girl, first, congratulations on graduating here so soon that you will. But more importantly, thank you for being here.
There's a sign up there that says, "Everybody is a Ferrari fan," 55 Carlos signs. Hang on, but then the Ferrari's crossed out and it says Williams underneath it, which might be... Oh, hang on, there's Katie, what's that one?
Charles, I changed my 15th B-Day party to come see you. That's so nice of you.
Dedication to the cause. Circuit of the Americas, who has enjoyed watching F1 Explains? We are the official Formula One podcast that answers your questions. Get your phones out, search F1 Explains on Spotify or Apple. Subscribe, follow or like. Me and Katie have new episodes every Friday. We have listeners in more than 120 countries and you're very welcome to join us. Kota, you have been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, all of you.
My name is Christian Hugill. This is Katie Osborne. We are F1 Explains. On the podcast, we'll be back next week. And Circuit of the Americas, we're excited to see you next year. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much.
Good night.